Good evening. It's good to see everybody this evening. Thanks for inviting me again. The Sheridan family, thank you for the hospitality and the time of fellowship. Also with each and every one of you as with the carry-in dinner and the different things that we were able to sit down and talk a little bit and share a little bit of the gospel and some other things there. We appreciate everything, and I'll be taking off tomorrow and hopefully get home for a change and hit the ground running about Tuesday. So keep us in prayer as we continue to do our work there, and we'll keep you in prayer also. As final message, I want you to be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I remember years ago I went to Jamaica and Bill Paul was there, and I was able to be down there with him, and that's how I met him, was in Jamaica. We were teaching together and swapping off days and got to spend some time with him. So that was a blessing to me, and that's how I knew about this congregation to begin with. Chapter 4, the Bible said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we conclude our faith promise rally tonight, Father, we pray that we'll be focusing on the ministry. Father, what it means and how we are to function in that ministry. Help us to gain knowledge in this, and not only gain the knowledge, but to be able to use that knowledge and just not be hearers of the word, but be doers too. Father, we thank you for all the blessings you have given us this very week, for this congregation here. We pray that you bless them as they continue to try to win souls in this area, and not only here, but throughout the world. Father, give us the courage to stand. Help us to make a difference in whatever we do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I like what he says here, because there's a whole lot of things here. There's about five things that we see in this section here. I like what Paul says, that therefore seeing we have this ministry. We have the ministry. Paul didn't say, I want to tell you, I have a ministry. No, we have a ministry. The entire Crown Church of Christ has this ministry. The biggest subject of the devil, the biggest problem the devil has that we have, one of Satan's biggest lies is the minister. And see, when you have the minister, suddenly you do not become a minister yourself. We are all ministers of Christ. That means we're all servants of Christ. There is no the minister. I am a minister. Scott is a minister. He's an evangelist, and I'm an evangelist, but you need to understand that as you sit in the pew, you are a minister too. You are a servant, and God has called you to do the work of the ministry. He has not called you to sit in the pew. He has called you to get up and do the work of the ministry. And as we can see, there's a lot of work to be done, isn't it? But the devil has got this mindset that he's the minister up there, and that we're just sitting there soaking in everything, and we don't have to put in any effort. It's his job. Church is not growing. It's his job. Stuff not getting done. It's his job. There's no Bible studies. It's his job. No, it's all of our jobs. It's job one, as they say in Ford, you know. Job one. We have this ministry. He said, why do we have that ministry? Because we have received mercy. Everyone in here who has been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and received the gift of the Holy Spirit has received mercy. Every one of us. And so we ought to take that mercy that we have and deliver it to somebody else. Help somebody else receive that mercy. He said, we faint not. We don't give up. We don't stop the work of the ministry. Because why? We have already received mercy. And so we fight the good fight. We keep going on no matter what happens. Because we know the goal. You don't stop the race in the middle of the race. The winner goes until he crosses the finish line. And every one of us that is here cannot stop in the middle. We cannot stop. And yet I see so many people that I know of, preachers alike, and people in the pews that have stopped on their way to heaven and got off the train somewhere. We can't quit. There's no quitting. I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to walk on the streets. I don't know about you, but I want to see those saints that have went on before me. I've got great questions to ask Paul and Silas and them and Peter and James and John and all them. I want to ask them questions. I'll never get those questions asked. As I read the Bible and I see different things in there, I say, well, why they do that? Why didn't they do this? How'd that happen for sure? Well, you're only going to answer those questions if you get there. Finish the race, brothers and sisters in Christ. We have this ministry. Not only we have this ministry, there's a method for our ministry. In verse 2, look what he says. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves, every man's conscience in the sight of God. The method of our ministry is truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. John 8:32 says, you know, shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth is not going to set you free, and I've told you that before. Knowing the truth will set you free. We're going to have people maybe even here tonight that haven't heard the truth and heard the truth and heard the truth and heard the truth, but knowing the truth is putting the truth into practice. It's just not hearing it. It's putting it in practice. And so we can preach about being a servant. We can preach about giving your life to Christ. We can preach about all that. And all those things are truth. But until you know the truth, you won't be set free. The myth of our ministry is not a lie. It's the truth, and it's set forth in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that blows my mind is where people, you know, they use their opinions and everything else is to the Word of God. That's one thing to win people is the Word, the truth. When I was over in Russia and we sat at the table and I was teaching, there was a guy from the head of their Atomic Energy Commission, and there was all kinds of people, and then there was somebody from their KGB that was sitting at the table trying to ruin the thing. See, what we did, we went over to Russia and we're teaching English. They didn't know he was going to teach it out of the Bible, though. So we put an ad in the paper, we're teaching English, and so they came to hear about English, and the only problem was that we're going to teach it out of the Bible. And the KGB woman was there, and she didn't want to read the Bible. She said, I am not going to read the Bible. I am not going to. I said, get up and leave. She said, this is Russia. Yeah, but I'm an American. That's the way we're going to do it. You cannot do that over here because we own this country. I said, well, that's the name of the game here, lady. Either read it or you're going to have to go. And so we use things. They watch soap operas. And the soap opera, America, you know, we export a lot of things. Cigarette booze, pornography, bad movies, and soap operas over there. Boy, we're great, aren't we? And the soap opera there was called Santa Barbara. And they would say, I have been to Santa Barbara. They want to go there. So I asked them, where would you like to go in America if you could go there? And of course, all of them went down there, and then you got to her. She wanted to go to Santa Barbara. So then we got down to the word hell. You know, supposed to use hell in a sentence. And so everybody used it, and then when it got to me, I said, everybody in Santa Barbara is going to hell. You know, and she was not happy with that. And she said, you'll say Church of Christ, only church. I said, no, the Bible says that. So we went to Romans 16 and had her read it. And then I said, read it again. And then the interpreter got all excited and he told her, read it again. You know, he's getting excited. And she got mad and she took off out of there. But every time those guys asked a question, what did we use? When they ask us a question about the Bible, we use the Bible. Our method is truth. We have a ministry, and the method for our ministry is truth. It's not what I think or how I feel. It's what the Bible says. The Bible says it. In verse 3, he said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The motive of our ministry is to the lost. That's why we have a ministry here. What's the ministry for? Not for our edification necessarily, but our ministry is here. Why was Jesus here in Luke the 19th chapter? What did he say? I came to seek and save that was what? Lost. That's our ministry. If we don't have that mindset in ministry, that's why we're here. The Church of Christ is here to win the lost. Yes, we're here to edify each other. Yes, we are here to grow. But the main function of the Lord's church is to win those people that are outside the body of Christ because they're lost. You know the people that you are working with today, if Jesus comes back tomorrow, they're lost. The people you go to school with, the people you live around, your family, they're lost. And whose responsibility is it to tell them? Well, they'll never listen. Well, listen, if you tell them that and they don't listen, when you get the judgment bar of God, whose fault is it? It's theirs. Our motive for ministry is to win the lost. That's why you have this faith promise. Why? Because are you going to send this guy out so he can lead singing somewhere? Are you sending them out so they can have inflatables in the front yard and have a hot dog roast or a carry-in dinner? The purpose of this is to send somebody out to win people that we might not be able to get to. People groups. The motive is because they're lost. We've got a country that's lost here ourselves. But what are we doing about it? It's up to each one of us to take that on as a personal ministry to win the lost. In verse 4, he tells us who the menace of our ministry is. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The menace of our ministry is Satan. Now here is a newsflash, Kodak moment. It's not your brother or sister. It's Satan. And if you don't think he's alive and well, just look at the school system on Wednesday night. What they got going on? You might be having your Bible study. What is the school doing? Parent-teacher's night. volleyball night, basketball practice night. And then they tell me, they say, well, we can't do anything with the kids. Why don't you do something with the kids? Well, how can I do anything with the kids when you got them all the time? And now, and I forget who was talking to me this morning, but now on Sunday we got soccer, we got baseball, we got midget football, we got everything else. And we all think that Junior is going to be in the NFL. I had a guy at church in Lima, Ohio. And I'm telling you what, no matter what Bible study you get in, he'd always have his hand up. Do not forsake the assembling yourself together as some are, but all the more as you see the day approaching. Every time. One right after another, run after another, run after another. Wednesday night comes, guess what? Oh, Davey's not there. Well, Preacher Jim gets in the car and goes to where Davey's at, and he sits at the house waiting on Davey to come home. Davey gets out of the car, and guess where Junior's got? Shoulder pads and a helmet. What happened to do not forsake the assembling yourselves together? Well, that's just for everybody else, isn't it, Dave? It's not for you. Well, he told me, he said, this is midget football now. He said they were going to name him quarterback, and he said, I just couldn't take him out of there. You got to be kidding me. What is the matter with us? And you know what? He kept saying, you know, I can just see him playing for the Buckeyes now, and I'll be in the stands. There's my boy quarterback. You know where his boy is now? His boy's a drug addict. He isn't in the church. He divorced his wife. You know what? When Jesus ain't number one, I'll tell you what, it won't be long before you've given him up for everything. Now, I'm not bragging, but I'm telling you what, our kids knew when church was where they were going to be at. My boys are good football players. My boy in Ohio, at the second biggest school in Ohio, was starting linebacker. But when we first started there, in his sophomore year, he come off the field because I come and get him on Wednesday. I said, you know, come pick him up. Then we go to church. He come off the field and he had a tear in his eye. And I said, what's the matter? He said, the coach said, if I don't quit going to church, he'll cut me. I said, oh, yeah? And I started going by him. He said, well, you going by? I said, I'm going to get him. That's what I'm going to do. And he tried to cut me off, but I got swivel hips, man. I cut to the left, did a pirouette, and went around. And I said, what are you talking about? You're going to cut my boy. Yeah. I said, what? I said, what's this four guys standing over there? Well, he said, they're parole officers. I said, who are they watching? Four guys you got on this team. My boy doesn't cuss you out, don't give you any trouble, get straight A's. And you're going to cut him? And you got to have them guys in there from the juvenile delinquents over there? And that's all right? Well, he said, well, who told you that? Who said he was going to cut him? So he changed the whole story. Next year, playing the big game on Friday night. Big game. Biggest game of the year. We have a revival. Now, I didn't say to Scott. I didn't say, Scotty, you're going to go to church. Scott already knew it. See, the problem with us is that we don't set the barriers, man. Who's the adult here? What's the most important thing in your life? Is it getting your kid to heaven or seeing him on a football field? Where's it at, man? And he didn't go, and he said, well, they probably, you know, I won't be playing the rest of the year. He's one of the best players. Guess where he was the next week? Starting. The last year, 12th grade. Wednesday night, first Wednesday night, first practice they're supposed to have, guess where it's all? Wednesday night. And it was late. In other words, they're supposed to meet at 7 o'clock. And Scott called him. I didn't tell Scott, you're going to call him or I'm going to bust your face, which I would have done anyway, but... So, he calls him, telling him he ain't going to be there. And he tells me, he says, he told me he's going to cut me. I said, I thought you was going to quit church. Out the door I went. Got in the car, went over there. And I'm telling you what, they got like 20-some coaches. I mean, it's a huge outfit. I knocked on the door. He's there in a big table, a round table, you know, big table in there, and they're all lined up in the thing. And I said, I want to talk to you alone. And went over there, and I said, who's the coach of this team? I am. Man, I hit that table, and the coffee cup jumped everywhere. I said, well, Jesus is the coach of ours, buddy, and he trumps you. My boy will be in church. You give me any more trouble, and I'm taking you to the school board, and I'm not going to mess around. I'll mess this place up. I'll be telling everybody about it. Jesus is the coach of our team. And I told my boy, I said, listen, Scott, you honor God, and God will honor you. Free full ride scholarships out of that school. He got one of them to play football for 4 years. Why? Trust God. God will see you through. You telling me that if LeBron James wanted to go to church on Wednesday, they cut him from the team? We don't take a stand, people. That's the problem. It isn't the problem. We start quaking and trying to change up things. Listen, I'd rather have my boy get to heaven than score 100 touchdowns. I care less about that. Because in the end, when we face the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you what, when you leave this earth, you ain't taking one dime. You ain't taking anything in your house. You're not taking a diamond ring. You're not taking a billfold. You're not taking a car. You're not taking anything. You're going there buck naked to see Jesus. Nothing in this world is going to come out of here, but what do we trust in? Love the things of this world. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. If parents, if you set the parameters, you don't have to worry when they get 12, 13 years old. They already know where you're going to be. Our kids, they know where we're going to be. They know when on Wednesday night comes where we're going. And I didn't do this just start this. It's been through our whole ministry before I ever was a preacher. My mom came down on Sunday. And she knocks on the door about 7 o'clock and we're getting ready for church. And she said, well, aren't you going to stay here? I said, no, I ain't staying here. You can come with us or sit here until we get home. Who do I love more? My mom or Jesus? Now, I'm never going to win my mom by saying, Mom, I'm going to stay home with you. Mom, yeah, forget about Jesus. We'll just do that. See, what the problem is, we give in to things, and then when we say we stand on stuff, they look at us like we're a bunch of stinking kooks. We don't really believe it. But I tell you what, my mom will sit there all day and all night. If I'm going to church, that's just the way it's going to be. Do I love my mom? Yeah. Do I love Jesus? I love Jesus more than my mom. You'll never affect anybody. I tell our guys in the Bible college, I said, listen, guys, you give in one time, it's a slippery slope. You give in one time, you're going down. You stand on the truth of the gospel, and God will take care of you. Satan is going to try anything to bring you down. from Monday night football to Thursday night football to Sunday night football to everything else is to drag us out of there. What's going on now? Well, the Bible went out of school, didn't it? Prayer went out of school. But where did it go first? It went out of the home before it ever went out of school. It went out of the home, and prayer went out of the home before it ever went out of school. Stand for the truth of the gospel. We have this ministry. The method of our ministry is truth. The motive of our ministry is to win the lost. The menace of our ministry is Satan himself. And if you think he's just some little boogeyman, you're out of your skull. Well, this guy's working overtime, man. This guy is on all the time. But I want you to know something. Before we leave tonight, there's some great news. Because verse 5 said, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The master of our ministry is Jesus." He's the master. And we say that, we say he's the master, but is he? I had a guy named Danny Bentley, and I'll tell you two stories and then we'll close. Danny Bentley preached a sermon, and he preached a sermon. He said, "Position is everything." It was a good sermon. He's in the church of St. Paul, Kentucky. But after that, he would be like Dave Baker, and every time he'd say, "Position is everything," every time he had a thing. And then one Sunday, he didn't show up for church. And I called his house. And I said, "Are you sick or dead?" He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you weren't at church." He said, "Bubby had a ball game." I said, "Danny, since position is everything, what position was he playing? What's so important?" And then I had a guy in in Indiana. We were having a revival, and he was a song leader. He come up to me and he said, "Listen," he said, "I won't be able to lead the songs. I can start it off, but I can't do the close. You have to get somebody." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "We're going to the Bengals game. You got to get there early. You get a parking place." Man, I was fried. I was fried. And so he came back up, man. He came back up and he started to grab the songbook. I said, "Go sit down, man. Go sit down. Because you aren't leading songs here." And then he went out and he came back and he told me, he said, "We're not going anywhere." So I hugged him, see? I thought, man, he made a spiritual decision. Now, this is great. In fact, I was like this, you know. I did something good. But my wife was out in the foyer and heard him say they couldn't get the tickets because they left them in the high rise in Cincinnati and couldn't get in. That's the only reason he didn't go. Yeah, but my wife didn't lie with a boom on me until I got home. And here I am, you know, I was going around. I was on cloud nine, you know, floating. Man, we made a difference. And then she told me that. I said, "Oh, man." So I went over to his house. The next day he was in a church, man, at church, the business at his house. And I said, "Man, I thought you made a spiritual decision." He said, "I painted the church building the other day and I mowed the grass." I said, "Oh, yeah, I forgot the time card Jesus had." And I grabbed this paper off him. "You just cha-chinged it and you... God owes you some time." I've seen that. So the next week, he left again. But he took the Lord's Supper. Isn't that great? And so the next week, I preached a sermon called "If God Was Just As Important As the Bengals." And you could hear a pin drop in that place. I'm telling you what, I burnt that thing up, boy. Because I said we wouldn't be here interviewing one of the ball players. We'd be interviewing Paul to see what's next week on the sermon trail, brother? What are we going to have? You got any special things planned, you know, for old Satan this week? I did all kinds of things. And when he come out the door, this is what he said. I wish the guy was here that needed to hear that. Mad as could be. Sunday night come. Guess who come down the aisle? He repented. Now, you know what he's doing now? He's preaching. Now, what if I wouldn't have said anything to him? What if I wouldn't have let him go? What if I wouldn't have taken a stand? What if I wouldn't have said, listen, Charlie, you need to get your head straight. Jesus is the master of our ministry. And when Jesus says something, that's what we ought to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what this faith promise is all about. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if that's what Jesus wants us to do, don't you think it's about time we start doing it? We have this ministry. It's for each and every one of us. No one is exempt in this place here. You can all do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can all make a difference. Maybe you can't go somewhere. Maybe you can write a card. Maybe you can get on the phone and talk to somebody. Maybe you can encourage somebody. In all the years I have preached, I never had anybody come into my office and pray for me. But I had them come in and say, "Oh, this ain't going good, that's messed up, you ought to do this, and I think something else, and that's the way it is." Why don't you pray for your preacher? Why don't you pray for your leadership team? Why don't you pray for knowledge and understanding and do the work of the ministry? We have this ministry. We faint not. Why? Because we have received mercy. Everyone who has ever obeyed the gospel of Christ has mercy. And we ought to share that mercy with someone else. Tonight, if you've never obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, we ask you to come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, to repent, to change your mind, go a different direction, to be immersed for the forgiveness of sin, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, rise and walk in the newness of life, and be faithful unto death. It's easy to obey the gospel. It's a hard thing to stay faithful. Because I guarantee you one thing, Satan is ready as soon as you come up out of the water for somebody to try to turn you away, to discourage you. But know this, that we're going to be meeting Jesus on that day and not Satan. Let's stand and sing a song invitation as our song leader comes.